This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. NATO ships will start patrolling the Mediterranean to crack down on human smugglers. And earlier this week, we spoke of tens of thousands of Syrian refugees massing at the Turkish border, fleeing the latest fighting in Aleppo. Turkey has sealed its border, and the refugees say there is no way to endure a major government offensive backed by Russian airstrikes trying to retake the city after years of being divided between government and rebel control. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, at least 500 people, including 89 civilians, have been killed, and refugees continue to flee. Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He says the U.S. may have to accept that Vladimir Putin's approach to defeating ISIS seems to be reinstating dictator Bashar al-Assad's control of all Syrian territory.
This leaves us in a terrible dilemma. Do you, in a sense, let the Russians try to reinstall Bashar al-Assad, the dictator? Or do we try to continue to build up moderates to conquer both Assad and the extremists, ISIS and al-Qaeda, which we've been doing for 5 years and have failed? That's the dilemma.
To be cynical, to be cynical, though, Joshua, I mean, we've had our own relationships with dictators in the Middle East going back in history and other places in the world. Is it conceivable that Putin is actually right, that the only way to defeat ISIS is to reinstall this brutal dictatorship in Syria, and we'll worry about the consequences of that later?
Well, we've made that decision in Egypt, in a sense, by backing Sisi. We support the monarchies in Saudi Arabia. There are many dictators and authoritarian regimes that we support. Of course, Bashar al-Assad is particularly distasteful. This war has been so brutal. But Putin may be right. Maybe the Middle East is not ready for democracy. Maybe Syria is too fragmented. There are too many different minorities, and that it can't bind together.
Meanwhile, 50,000 Syrian refugees from Aleppo are banging their heads against a sealed Turkish border. What's to become of them?
It's true, John, but look at what we're doing in Iraq. We just took Ramadi. That city was bombed to smithereens. There is no house left standing. The reports that came out of that city, it's worse than Aleppo. And that's America doing it. And Russia is doing almost the identical thing we're doing in Iraq. We are supporting a very sectarian Shiite regime to destroy Sunni rebel life in Iraq. Russia says, I'm going to do the same thing in Syria. Of course, there's a big difference. Shiites in Iraq are 60% of the population. So destroying the minority, the religious minority, seems not so bad. Whereas in Syria, the Alawites are about 12%. The other religious minorities, Christians and so forth, make only maybe 23% if you add them all up. There's Kurds, another 10%. But the Sunni Arab Muslims are 70% of Syria. Unfortunately, we have failed to produce power sharing, and there's ethnic rebalancing going on in both of these countries, and it's a scary sight to behold. You know, I've compared it to what happened in World War II, where all of the new nations of Eastern Europe exploded into ethnic conflict. Poland was 64% Poles before World War II. It was 100% Polish at the end of World War II. There were not only 6 million Jews exterminated, but 12 million Germans from Central Europe were ethnically cleansed at the end of the war. They were the guilty minority. The Sudeten Germans, 3 million, pushed out into Berlin. And America was overseeing that. So this, in a sense, great sorting out that took place in Central Europe during World War II, where the borders weren't changed to fit the ethnicities, the people were changed to fit the borders. That same process, that same great sorting out, is taking place in Iraq and Syria today.
Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Joshua, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.